This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This episode features helpful advice for Chip Your Pet Mom and celebrating senior pets and dog moms. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. With us to share timely and important tips for pets and pet parents is Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. And Monica, it is May, and May is Chip Your Pet Month. And I think that, you know, it's great that we have pet IDs on. We always should have our ID on our pet, but it's also important to have our pet microchipped. And it's a great time, in case you don't have your pet microchipped, it's Chip Your Pet Month. So talk to your vet about it. And could you just share the importance of having our pets microchipped?
Absolutely. Microchips have come such a long way since they started. They're so small, so tiny. It's very pain-free for the animal to get, very quick, very fast, very cost-effective. It's one of the best ways to identify your pet. You know, collars, they break, they come off, tags fall off sometimes. And, you know, unfortunately, things happen and pets, you know, they slip out of doors or they slip out of a lead or they escape from the car going out and about. You know, they'll just get away from you sometimes. And a microchip is a form of identification that is going to live within that pet its entire life. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to fall off. It's not going to wash off. It's not going to break away. It's going to be there. So no matter what, your pet can be identified. And people think, oh yeah, I got my pet's microchip. That, you know, that's great. They're set. He's always going to be able to come home to me. And then most people get it when it's a puppy, and then, you know, 3-4 years later, they move, and maybe 5 years later, they move again. And this whole time, they're thinking, oh, my pet's covered. It's great. Well, when you get your microchip, the microchip, you know, there's a common misconception, like clients don't understand how it works. Your microchip does not hold all your information in it. The microchip holds an identification number. The scanner will be placed between the shoulder blades of a pet to pick up the microchip number. And it sends a radio frequency to have that number pull up in the scanner. Well, they have a database that has everybody's information linked to their numbers. So whenever a pet's picked up, they're going to scan your pet. They're going to get that identification number. They're going to put it into the database, and they could come up with a phone number and an address that is, you know, years and years old and could be 1-2 addresses from when you've got it put in. You know, it's changed since then. So the main thing to know when you microchip your pet is it's not like I microchip my pet, I'm done. Anytime you change that information, that microchip, that number has to have that change updated as well. Otherwise, You know, if you have a phone number that's in there from 10 years ago and an emergency contact that's changed their number and a different, you know, a bad address, it's like that pet didn't have a chip at all because there's no way to track it back to you. Keeping that chip information up to date is so, so important. And that's why, you know, they have this awareness month every year, you know, to remind people, you know, check your chip, make sure it's up to date. We always talk about our emergency preparedness, and I know we're going to get ready to do that show soon, but I always tell people every year, whenever it works for you, everybody's schedule is different. Some people's like the beginning of the year, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Or maybe it's, you know, when I get my hurricane kit together every year, you know, maybe it's pre-hurricane season or pre-tornado season or however it is in your household, that time of the year when you sit down and review all your list of to-dos and make sure you have everything covered. Make sure that one of the items on that checklist is checking the information that's attached to the pet's microchips. And that way, the pet will always get home to you.
You said we're going to be talking about this in an upcoming show for any kind of, whether it be a weather emergency or any type of emergency out there, what to do. But if you adopt a pet and the pet does not, like, there's the original microchip information for, you know, whether the previous owner or How do you get that changed to your name?
So whenever you scan a pet and you get that identification number, certain companies kind of have a similar way of how they do their numbers, or they'll start with a certain symbol or something like that. So generally a veterinary office can identify the manufacturer of the chip. They can say, oh, this looks like a Homagen number. This looks like a Avid microchip number or whatever. So you can call that company and say, hey, you know, I have a pet. They're already microchipped. This is the number that they have. I need to re-register.
We had to do that recently with one of the pets that we adopted. And you just have to send them the adoption. There's just a few things you send them and work with your vet on it. And it happens because I think sometimes people go, well, you know, she has a chip or he has a chip, so it'll be fine. Well, no, you have to have your number and your contact information in there for the pet to, you know, to come to you. And I think sometimes people may forget that.
And they've had pets, you know, that have gone through rescue that they picked up. They'll go in and look and see nothing, you know, oh, okay, you know, I don't see any information for this chip. And there's been clients that have gone to reactivate that chip to file for it and then be like, oh, wow, we have an emergency contact for that person and we're able to actually find the house that the pet had originally gotten away from.
See, that's,
you know,
so
it's amazing
important.
How, yeah.
It is. And it's important to keep your emergency contact. You know, being in a state that is a hurricane state, a lot of times our towers go down or there's some sort of communication. So I have a local person that's an emergency person, and then I have an out-of-state person who's an emergency person, because just as your number is very important, if perchance there's some sort of an odd chance that there's that they can't reach you or your local contact, you'll have an out-of-state contact too. So with us living in Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so many people, you know, what's the emergency number? Oh, let's put my wife down.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know what I mean? You always want to have somebody outside of your family. That way, if something comes up and you guys are unreachable, then you have somebody else that can, oh, yes, you know, they're on a cruise. That's why you can't get any of them on their phones or whatever it is, to where they can, you know, yes, that's their pet. You know, we'll get them taken care of. We'll get them home.
That's great. And it's also for your ID on your dog's collar or cat's collar to have, you know, your emergency number too. We always put that as the bottom number on the back of the, on the ID, because you just never know.
Absolutely.
Well, Monica, as always, this is great information. And everybody, it's May. It's Chip Your Pet Month. So if you're not quite sure if your pet's chipped or not, or if it's something you want to make sure that it's updated, that you make sure, this is a great month to just like, oh, I better update my contact information, or make sure my contact information or my emergency contact information is current and up to date. So sometimes you just, it's like, ah, this is the month to do it, even though we should be doing it every month. But it's great to know during May, because it's Chip Your Pet Awareness Month. So Monica, as always, great information, very timely information. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, a special celebration for dog moms. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a dog mom, I feel it's my responsibility to be sure my pups are living in a healthy and safe environment, ensuring regular veterinary care, providing proper nutrition, exercise, and basically having fun with my dogs, all the way from puppyhood to when they become seniors. Being a dog mom, that love has no bounds. For all of the dog moms out there, happy Dog Mom Day! National Dog Moms Day is observed on the second Saturday in May, and this year it's on May 11th. And with thanks and celebrations, all these dog moms who dedicate their love and support every single day with their beloved pups get to celebrate a day just for them. So feel free, dog moms, to shower your pups with extra love, hugs, treats. For you and your dogs, love to do that, and it strengthens the strong bond between dog moms and your precious fur kids. And with us back today to celebrate Dog Moms Day, with me who has three precious pups of her own, Callie, Keegan, and Cisco, and loves them all to bits, is going to share with us how much fun having a puppy is, having a middle-aged dog, and the benefits of being a senior dog mom. Welcome back to my sister, Colleen.
Hello, hello. Happy Dog Moms Day to you.
Happy Dog Moms Day to you. I always talk, and for the new listeners, my sister and I, throughout our entire lives, from when we were infants, we've had animals in our life. We've been a pet family our whole lives, loving our pets. They were family members, and that's just how we were brought up. So we kind of just took that into our adult life, I'll say that lightly, into our life. And we now have a fur kid family of our own. Each of us have dogs and we absolutely love them. So for our first time listeners, can you just tell them a little bit about you, a little bit about your fur family, and how will you be celebrating Dog Mom Day this year?
Yes, yes. Thanks again for having me. It's such a treat to be here. So I am Sue's sister, Colleen, and I have had several dogs throughout my adult life, mostly Pembroke Welsh Corgis. Currently, I have two Corgis and a Sheltie, and Callie is my oldest Corgi. She is 7. Keegan is 5. Those are my two Corgis, and my Sheltie is just over a year. But I've had dogs in my life, precious fur kids, from puppyhood all the way up to age 15. So the entire lifespan of our pups can really be a joy and so many wonderful things to do at all stages of their life. So I'm so happy to be here and celebrating this year for Dog Moms Day. We're going to be going to our favorite park. We have this wonderful 20-acre park near our home here in Southern California, and we just love it. Lots of open grassy fields, and it's just beautiful. So that's what we're going to be celebrating.
Now, we both are dog moms, and we're dog moms to young dogs. middle-aged dogs, senior dogs, and both of us have had senior dogs. And, you know, I love my little Sassy. She has such an energy. She brings me so much joy. But I have to tell you, I also love my seniors because they still have energy. But in my case, it's like not that overwhelming energy. It's like a nice, comfortable, calm energy. Coco was at one time a puppy. We rescued her as a puppy, or she kind of adopted us. And she was a handful. And she is now a gracious 9-year-old senior. She just became a senior. She's into her senior years now. And of course, Fawn just turned 13. So she's an elegant senior lady as well. So I guess what maybe we could talk about, Sister, is technically, when does a dog become a senior? Like, when in reality does a pet become a senior?
So very good question. I did some research before our chat today, and the short answer to that question is it varies. So according to the AVMA and the AKC, which are two very important organizations in the animal world, it kind of depends on the dog's size. So for smaller toy breeds, dogs that are less than 20 pounds, a senior dog would be 8 to 11 years old. So an 8 to 11 year old toy breed is considered a senior. Same for medium sized dogs, very similar. So if you have a dog that's 20 to 50 pounds, if they're aged 8 to 10, they'd be considered a senior. For the larger breeds, 50 to 90 pounds, an 8 or 9 year old dog would be considered a senior. And then the giant breeds are considered a senior. So the 90 plus pound dogs at 6 to 7 years old. So the smaller dogs tend to age less quickly. But at all those ages, there's still so much vibrance and joy that you can experience together.
That's so true. And I think sometimes when people think of senior dogs, they think, oh, well, you know, we're not going to be able to go for our walks. We're not going to be able to go for our runs. You know, they're not going to be playing Frisbee. But they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do. They have a lot of vibrancy. Again, it may not be that kind of chaotic energy that a puppy or a young dog brings to the house, but it has that kind of like a calming, fun energy. And especially for those people who adopt, because they're, you know, most times they're house trained, they know their basic commands, they kind of know their way in life and what to kind of expect. And they definitely appreciate being with the family if they've come from a family like the way we adopted Fawn. Her two pet parents were hospitalized, but it was going to be a permanent thing. So she needed to find a new home. So we took her in at 11. But she has a sweet gentleness to her, and she fit right into our pack. And she was a single dog and a single, you know, she had no other dogs around her. It was just her and her two pet parents. And she acclimated fine to a multi-pet household. So I think that there's some misnomers out there about maybe what a senior pet can do, can't do, or what we can do with our senior pets. Sister, what are some things that we can do to help our senior dogs live their best lives?
So there are countless things that we can do to help our older dogs live their best life. And I'm going to touch on 6 things that seem to be consistent throughout my research as I was looking into the topic for our chat today. And the first thing that seemed very important, which is kind of intuitive, is grooming. So grooming your older dog, it's wonderful bonding time, keeping it positive and pleasant. Your senior dog will absolutely soak up the pampering. And it's just a really wonderful time to bond with them and connect with them. A few things in particular with the grooming is keeping their nails trimmed. So keeping your senior dog's toenails short and tidy is an essential part of caring for them. Long toenails may cause the dog to stand and walk abnormally, resulting in pain or accelerate or exacerbate arthritic changes. And since we're not walking with our older dogs quite the distances that we did with our younger dogs, they're maybe not out on the pavement as much, wearing down their nails. So keep an eye on that and just make sure that their nails are nice and trimmed and tidy. Also, brushing your dog. I love to brush my dogs. And it's, again, very important to their overall health and also to keep their coat health the way it should be. It'll keep it shiny and smooth and tangle-free. And also, while you're brushing and you're very close to them and you're petting them at the same time, you can take a look and see and sort of inspect for any kind of lumps, open wounds, any fleas or ticks or anything of that nature, all while enjoying the time together, just brushing with a nice soft brush with your senior dog. Another topic that seemed to come up frequently in the research was providing a little bit of extra comfort for your older dog. They should have easy access to nice, warm, comfortable beds and without fear of disturbance. So I don't know what your experience has been in the past, but sometimes my older dogs like to kind of be in their own little space away from kind of the chaos of, you know, the day-to-day life from time to time. So having a nice comfortable space for them to be quiet on their own is really important. If your dog has joint issues at all, like arthritis, maybe consider an orthopedic bed or a memory foam bed, which are really nice, and you can get them just about anywhere these days. And also another thought for when it's chilly out, consider a heated bed or a heating pad on the top of the bed. They're really great for soothing stiffness and aches, and it keeps them nice and warm when it's cold out. The third thing that I wanted to mention was maintaining their mobility. So as I had mentioned, maybe we're not taking our older dogs out for as long of a walk as we used to or as frequently as we used to, but it is important to get them out and about, not only for their physical well-being, but also for their mental well-being. You know, kind of getting out and experiencing new sights and smells and the fresh air, in addition to keeping their muscles strong and keeping them mobile, is really important as they get older. Another thought is to make your home more senior dog friendly. So a couple of ideas: add carpets for better grip to provide traction, maybe a yoga mat or an anti-slip rug on slippery floors in front of food and water dishes, just to help your dog with the traction. You know, as they get older, sometimes it's a little harder for them to get up or to stand on a slippery floor. So just maybe providing those few extra things that would make it easier to get around. Also, pet stairs or a ramp to get on and off furniture, and then a ramp also maybe to get in and out of the car. For my dogs, as they get older, I lift them in and out of the car. But for the larger dogs, to save on our backs, it's kind of nice to be able to use a ramp. The fifth thing that I wanted to mention was to pay particular attention to their nutrition. So speak with your vet about possibly transitioning your older dog to a new diet that's specifically formulated for the health and well-being of an older pet, especially if they have any underlying health conditions. And finally, the last thing I wanted to mention, and certainly not the least important, is veterinary care for your older dog. It's really important that they get proper veterinary care, because early detection of chronic diseases like kidney disease and thyroid disease, diabetes, the detection and treatment of those diseases really can help preserve their quality of life. So consider taking your senior pet to see the veterinarian twice a year. I know usually with the younger dogs, you bring them once a year, but consider taking them twice a year so that you can catch any sort of illnesses soon, and they can be treated before they become major illnesses. And also, your veterinarian is the best resource to address any questions or concerns you may have about taking care of your senior pet, because, you know, they all have unique issues and unique needs, and having a wonderful veterinarian corner advising is really important. So those are kind of the highlights that I found I kind of experienced as a senior pet parent, and also in the research that I saw. But there are a lot of other things that you can do with your older pet that can make your time with them just as wonderful and fulfilling as it was, or maybe even more so than when they were younger.
I think that those are so great, and, you know, they're very timely and very helpful. And you came to visit me when you came last year. Actually, Franny was still with us. And as you saw, we had literally, you can't go into a room without dog beds. I mean, mm-hmm. I have dog beds everywhere. Wherever she decided she wanted to plank herself down, it was going to be in a dog bed, an orthopedic dog bed.
And I think it's just a wonderful thing. And to have, we also had the runners, you know, the rug runners, so that, because we have all tile, we're in Florida, so we have rug runners. And one of the things that you talked about with partnering with your veterinarian, and I think that you went through this, like, with your pups too, which is you could use chiropractor, acupuncture, laser therapy, things such as that too. And anything to do to partner with your veterinarian to make your senior pet comfortable, I'm open to it. I know you are. You and I, as some of our dogs got a little older, those walks became shorter and shorter, and we both invested in awesome dog strollers. And we were those dog moms that walked around with their dogs and dog strollers, but they still like to be out. They just still like kind of like going, okay, I did the walk, I did the run, I'm ready for the stroller. And they love it. They totally enjoyed it. So those are some great ideas. The things that you brought up were so helpful. And I love with the grooming, because you're right. I love brushing my dogs. And my dogs are short-haired dogs. You have long-haired dogs. But that bonding experience and the feeling that is there when you're doing that, it's so wonderful. I don't think it can be duplicated. It's not only are you grooming them, but you're also strengthening that bond, which is so important between a dog mom and their pup, or a pet parent and their pup, whatever. It's a very, very strong bond, and you know they trust you. And that's what that's about. So I thank you very much for that too.
Yeah, they kind of melt. They kind of melt, yes, in your lap as you're brushing them. It's wonderful.
Yes, they look forward. They see the brush and they go, yeah, we know what's next. So, Colleen, I'm so happy that you spent Dog Mom Day with me. And I want to thank you also for sharing the joys of being a dog mom, and for those great tips and that great advice for being a dog mom to a senior pet, because there's so many ways that you're giving back love that is, it's unconditional love, but in a very special way. It's wonderful. Young pups are good, but I love me a senior. And I also want to wish Happy Dog Mom's Day to our producer, Cara, and her two beautiful pups, Murphy and Mimi. So Happy Dog Mom's Day to you. And for those of you looking to share extra love and appreciation for the dog moms in your life, you might consider giving them a special card, sending them a special note, getting them a cute dog mom mug. I have so many and I love them. They bring such smiles to my face. A dog mom tote, t-shirt, or even, yes, I'm one of them, a matching t-shirt for the dog mom and one for the fur kid. And you can never go wrong with making a donation in their name to their favorite personal cause or charity. It's truly a special one-of-a-kind gift that'll be very appreciated. If you're not a dog mom yet, there are so many fur kids out there that are waiting for their dog mom to come and bring them to their forever home. There's always a happy story, and it's full of unconditional love. So it's truly a special day. So why not connect with dog moms all over the world? And you can do this by using hashtag National Dog Moms Day. Happy Dog Moms Day, everyone. We'll be back in just a minute.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at the Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.